Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see each of you here this morning. Let's take just a moment. Anyone, this is your first time, wave to me. All right. Good. We're glad that you're... We do? Great. We're good. We are so glad that you're with us this morning. Let's stand and greet each other this morning before we begin. I think Sherry has an announcement. All right.
Presentation in a moment about the Shoebox Ministry, and you'll hear that in just a moment. Also, Saturday morning is blank in the bulletin, but it is men's breakfast, 7 o'clock. The Lions Club will be our special guest, and then they'll go pick up trash along the highway afterward. But we look for you at 7 o'clock. If you desire to come and eat a good breakfast early, and we already know our menu, don't we, Steve? And Steve, yeah. So at 7 o'clock. Also, the senior, a new Sunday school class for seniors, and I think we've sufficiently publicized it. Hopefully we have anyway. But Al and Diane are teaching that class, and it'll be in the back of the sanctuary behind the blue screen. If you'll, what did I say?
Thank you.
Back of the gym, behind the blue screens are shields.
Okay, thank you. There's also a class in here too for adults also. Right over here.
Any other announcements before our presentation?
Welcome to Operation Christmas Child 2008. We need you
your family, your church to get involved with Operation Christmas Child, because every shoebox is important. And when you gather around with your family and take the shoebox and pray for the child that's going to get that box, pray that not only God will bless that child and that child will have a little joy out of that gift, but more importantly, that that child will come to know the giver of all gifts, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need your help. We need you to get involved. Every box is important.
From all over the country, in all walks of life, coming together to share the love of God, are several million strong. It's a worldwide effort to share the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through the power of a simple gift, it's Operation Christmas Child.
Stirring sights and sounds of needy children around the world receiving shoebox gifts are nothing short of miraculous.
They open their boxes and they are excited. There's a smile on their face. You can see a spark in their eyes.
A spark, a smile, in the midst of a very difficult life. With barely enough food or money to even survive, Christmas gifts are the stuff of dreams. But through Operation Christmas Child and your prayers, you can make a difference in the life of a hurting child. The opportunity for children to learn about God is at the center of Operation Christmas Child.
And Jesus Christ is God's gift to all of us.
Along with shoebox gifts, children also receive illustrated gospel booklets printed in over 70 languages. That means every shoebox gift matters. All across the United States, packing shoeboxes ranges from a hobby to an annual tradition to a missionary effort to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Through Operation Christmas Child, our family and our kids as they grow up, giving and helping others becomes a natural thing.
We love packing shoeboxes.
Do you have dolls? Do you think every little girl should have a doll?
For 10-year-old Rosemary, the gift of a doll makes all the difference after her family lost nearly everything.
I always asked the Lord for a doll, and I was always praying for one until God answered my prayers.
A devastating earthquake shook the nation of Peru, leveling homes, buildings, and churches. Samaritan's Purse sent supplies to assist in relief efforts, and Operation Christmas Child delivered more than 146,000 gifts to hurting children in Peru.
I really want to thank the group who sent this, because if they didn't pack that box, I never could have received this doll.
They have so little, and we have so much, and I wish I could give them more.
Men and women are finding ways to give more. Shoeboxes are collected at churches, businesses, even motorcycle rallies. And thousands of volunteers pour into processing centers to prepare boxes for shipment.
Shoeboxes! It's just an awesome feeling to know that I'm sharing the gospel overseas.
To more than 100 countries. Into the poorest of neighborhoods, the darkest of streets, and the most isolated of villages.
We deliver shoeboxes to very remote locations. That's what makes Operation Christmas Child so exciting.
It's a time for celebration as the impact of a shoebox gift reaches deep into the lives of children and families. And children have the opportunity to participate in a discipleship program that teaches them how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
The simple giving of a gift can open the way for the gospel message to find a home in the hearts of children and parents right across the world.
It's the power of a simple gift. It's the power of the gospel. It's the power of hope for today and for tomorrow.
My dream is to be a singer.
I want to be a pastor.
I want to be in a...
Operation Christmas Child brings the joy of millions of people coming together in millions of ways to share the heart of God.
Thank you for being a part of this. May God bless you and your family, and may you have a very, very Merry Christmas. I'm Franklin Graham.
October 12th, everyone is invited if you would like to come and wrap shoe boxes. We prefer that they are the ones that have a lid. If they are closed, we'll take them. We may have to spray paint them. They're very hard to wrap. October 25th, we ask that all donations please be here because on November 1st, we're going to have a huge packing party with the Kids for Christ, and we invite everybody to come. The collection week, I believe, is 2 weeks after that. It takes a little bit of work. But I'm very excited. Let's do more than 125 boxes. And if you have any questions, just let me know. Thank you.
Any prayer requests or praise reports this morning? Good for you. Well, it's good to know that God is concerned about everything that concerns us. So let's bow our heads, pause for a moment, silent prayer, preparing our hearts for the service this morning. stand with me? Our call to worship is found in the bulletin. It comes from Psalm and Mark. The heavens are singing, proclaiming God's creation.
Glory to God and praise God's name.
God's law is perfect. God's teachings are sure.
Rejoice, O heart. Be glad, O soul.
Christ's way is clear. The way is right.
May we follow God.
If you would remain standing, turn in your hymnals to 542. The bulletin says, sing the wondrous love of Jesus, and Peggy and I were confused this morning. It says when we all get to heaven at the top of the page, but it's one and the same. So we will do 1, 3, and 4.
For prayer. Lord God, we've come to sing about getting to heaven and being in your presence. And we thank you for that hope that is ours as your children. We thank you that Christ came to give his life to pay the penalty for all that we have done that would separate us from you and from the blessings of heaven. And Lord, we thank you that you gave us a measure of faith that we may trust in this redeeming work of Jesus as he suffered and died on the cross. Lord, we rejoice that death could not hold him, that he was raised up from the grave by your power, and he ascended to your presence, preparing that place for us. And Lord, we anticipate being in your heavenly kingdom. Lord, we don't know what it will be like, but we just know that it will be good because you're good and in your presence we'll be good. But Lord, we've got a time in this life until that time comes when we enter into heaven. And Lord, we pray that you would so work in our lives and use us that we might bring glory to you, Lord. Help us to remain faithful. Help us to be great examples to others who do not know you. Help us to be witnesses, Lord. Be evangelists of your great love, especially as is shown through Jesus Christ. Thank you for your guidance through this life, and help us to glorify you in our lives individually, in our church, and when we go out into the world. And Lord God, we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
The Apostles' Creed is found on the screen. Let's recite it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, our only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of all life, and life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Service where we confess our sins. Our call to confession is from Psalm 25, verse 11. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Our prayer of confession comes from Proverbs, Psalms, and James. Let's recite it together. Wise, knowing God, you see our hearts so clearly. You speak to our lives so profoundly. And yet, we are often unable or unwilling to hear your truth and go where you lead. Even as we praise you with our mouths, we disgrace ourselves in words spoken to others with tongues of vicious fire. Forgive us for our hard hearts and stubborn ears. Forgive us for our hateful words and cruel gossip. Forgive us for our willful ignorance of the joy and gift you offer in your law of love. Help us live in your love and walk in your truth, that we might be your people and you might be our God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our words of assurance are from Proverbs. Those who listen to God's wisdom live secure and at peace without dread of disaster. Christ is our wisdom and our way. In Christ, we are forgiven.
Please turn in your hymnal to 383, Open Our Eyes, Lord.
Sentence today is found from Matthew. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Will our ushers come forth?
We worry about tomorrow.
Live in a fallen world, we all face all kinds of trials, aches, and pains. It could be a broken relationship, broken marriage, we lost our job, we lost a loved one. But the chorus to this song admonishes us to come into the presence of Jehovah and that we can find our peace and rest there. The problem with most of us is that we wait to the very last minute till we get to the very end of our rope and say, I can't go any farther, before we take advantage of what is there and offered to us through Christ. Situations that tug of war at me, all day long I struggle for the answer that I need, but then I come into His presence and all my answers become clear. And in that sacred moment, no doubt can interfere. In the God.
Reading first from Psalm 19, 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, much more precious than pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. From 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And from 2 Peter 1:19 through 21, and we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The Bible. Two or three people asked this week, maybe more than that, what was I preaching on this week, or what was the subject of the sermon? And I said, the Bible. It's almost like saying, well, we're preaching about sin. And we can kind of cover it all if we say that. But it's pretty general to preach on the Bible or about the Bible. But I'm going to preach about the Bible itself. Do you have an insert? This is a division, in case you didn't recognize. I'm sure you did, though. Division of the Bible. Old Testament, God's law. History mixed with law. And then, after the Israelites got into the Promised Land, how they lived, how they followed the law of God. The first five books was getting them ready for the Promised Land. The next era, if you want to call it an era, was how they failed to follow the law of God, or how they did follow it. Then there's some poetry and wisdom writings, and then prophecy about what has come. History is what has happened. Prophecy, the words of the prophets, what's going to happen. Much of it is, or thus saith the Lord, the message of the Lord to His people. Much prophecy is the word of God, or thus saith the Lord. Much of it is for what's going to happen of the future, but not always. New Testament, we got the Gospels. Basically, the Gospel writers wrote about Jesus Christ. Jesus' birth, Matthew and Luke. Jesus' life, His death, His burial, His resurrection. Then the book of Acts, the history. The history of the church as it got its beginning, and then as it spread throughout we call it the then known world, everywhere the Apostle Paul was able to go. And it spread a lot of places we think that we don't have a record of. We kind of found some evidence of preaching in areas that's not mentioned in the Bible. Maybe Paul's partner Barnabas went another direction. And then some letters. Paul telling people in the churches scattered throughout the then known world how they should operate the church and what God expected of them, how they should live in relationship to each other. But not only did Paul write, all of those under the first line of letters are from Paul, except the book of Hebrews. And it may be from the book, from the pen of Paul, or the mouth of Paul, as he had a secretary to write most of it down. We're still not sure about Hebrews, but probably somebody else wrote that. And then James wrote an epistle, says, don't just have faith, put some work behind your faith. Peter wrote two books, John wrote three. Jude wrote one, and then John wrote a book of prophecy that God revealed to him. Let's talk about it. And your outlines this morning, I will not promise to cover everything in the outline. This may be a two-Sunday sermon. Who knows? We can think and get to going, and then you, God, hopefully it's God, believe it is, keeps giving stuff to you. You read a passage of His Word, and you want to talk about that. You read a statement concerning His Word, and you want to talk about that. God's Word, the Holy Bible. You've probably seen him do it. Any of you ever seen Joel Osteen? Don't see the whole worship experience, do you? All I've ever seen is the sermon. And never see what they do leading up to the sermon. He comes out, holds up his Bible. And what does he say? You have it there. The congregation joins him. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. Hopefully it is. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, God bless you. The Bible. Someone wrote about the Bible. The Bible is the world's greatest book. And the Bible is the bestseller in at least the United States. I'm not sure if it's the best read book or the most often read book, but it's the bestseller. Remains at the top of the list. This person who said the Bible is the world's greatest book, and I think it was Dr. Maurice Pepper. It was in a book that he co-wrote with Stanley Wood, and one of them evidently said this because they didn't give anybody credit for it. A knowledge of the Bible is the mark of a truly educated person. Learning how to read and study the Bible is necessary for an understanding of the Christian faith. Can you be a Christian and know what the Christian is supposed to do without reading the Bible? And that statement says, no, you need to read the Bible to know what it says. A person named Edwin Holder, 1863, he wrote a hymn about the Bible, Thy Word is Like a Garden, Lord. May I read that to you? Thy Word is like a garden, Lord, with flowers bright and fair. And everyone who seeks may pluck a lovely cluster there. Thy word is like a deep, deep mine, and jewels rich and rare are hidden in its mighty depths for every searcher there. Thy word is like a starry host. A thousand rays of light are seen to guide the traveler and make his pathway bright. Thy word is like an armory where soldiers may repair and find for life's long battle day all needful weapons there. Oh, may I love thy precious word. May I explore the mine. May its fragrant flowers glean. May light upon me shine. Oh, may I find my armor there, thy word, my trusty sword. I'll learn to fight with every foe the battle of the Lord. When you speak of the Bible, what do you call it? What do you call it? It goes by many names. It goes by Scripture. The Scripture. The Holy Scripture. It's called in some circles Holy Writ or Holy Writing. It is called in some places the written Word of God. And then it's called the Word of God. And I guess I've used that. God's Word. God's Word to us. Some of us don't want to be too religious. It's kind of like talking about God, and they don't really want to say God. And there was a time in God's people's belief that they could not pronounce His name for fear or respect of Him, and they chose something else to say. But hopefully it's out of respect that we say this about the Bible. We call it the Good Book. The Good Book. And it is the Good Book. Everything we read in it is, well, there are some things that might surprise you if you read it. Some war, especially the Old Testament. But it's a good book. And then it's called the Bible. Even Psalm 19, that was our first selection of Scripture, it's called the Law of the Lord. The Law of the Lord, that's especially the first five books. The statutes of the Lord. The precepts of the Lord. The commands of the Lord. The ordinances of the Lord. The ordinances of the Lord. Just some words that are used to refer to the Bible. Want to share from Psalm 119, and I may have gotten here in the pulpit with only a King James Version. Incidentally, there is a Bible display in the narthex, or call it the lobby if you like. And those little blue books, it's about a reference for life. Take one of them if you like. I found two boxes here at the church and could not find who left them here. And if you're the one that left them here, thank you. And they got a lot of helps for becoming a Christian and living a Christian life. And I think it's in the back of them. But there's an internet, I mean, not an internet, there's a Bible on CD out there. You can find the Bible on the internet. It's called Bible Gateway. It's BibleGateway, and you can find numerous versions of the Bible there. You can also find out there a Bible that I bet you can't read, but most of you can't, if any of you, because it's Greek. It's a New Testament in Greek. I did not bring a Hebrew Bible because I did not, I do not own one, and I can't read the Greek one. So I went to class a few days there, but it somehow did not stick like it should. And if you don't use it, maybe you're going to lose it, and I haven't used the Greek. And there are King James Version. There's one Bible out there that Parallel Bible, it's called. There are four versions. Open it up, and on this line, there's one version. The same verses, passage, right here on of another version. Right here, another version. And right here, another version. That's that really big one out there that you can't hardly sit around and, well, you can't carry it to the hospital with you if you're going to read from it, because you have to have one of those little, well, I guess you could if you had one of those little wheel things, but it would get pretty heavy as you went to the hospital. Every once in a while I'll see a new preacher, I kind of hide my Bible. Not that I'm ashamed of it, but I like to slip up on people with it sometimes. So if I'm going, and then they won't put up their defenses, you kind of pull it out, or if you got a little of it up here, God has benefited you to memorize some of it, you just quote it to them. But some of the younger preachers, and this is okay, I'm not putting it down, but you can almost tell that he's a first-year preacher, or not over a third-year preacher, when he's got a Bible about twice this big, and he gets out of his car in front of the hospital and puts it under his arm and marks his pages, and then he takes off up there. And he's going to scare the people to death. Because you walk in, we were somewhere along the way, I picked up, if you walk into a hospital room and you pull out your Bible to a person who hasn't been reading the Bible, he'll say, "What are you doing? Am I going to die today? Oh my goodness." And so we've different ways to look at it, and I'm proud of those who take the big Bible, but I try to, if I've got one, sometimes the one I take, though, it carry with me, is so small, the print is, that I can't read the print. So, but anyhow, Psalm 119. How many verses in Psalm 119? What's the longest chapter in the Bible, or passage in the Bible, under a chapter? Well, it's 119. It's 176 verses, and I couldn't read it all, because most Psalm 19 is about the Bible. We read those verses. Psalm 119 is about the Bible. So I want to read verse 9. If you are with me, does anybody have it open there and would like to read? Jump up. A young person, this is a message to the young people. You're 119, verse 9. And you can put a young person. Wherewithal shall a young person? Don't limit it to a young man. Stand up there and read that Bible, lady. Just one verse, verse 9. Read that again, real, a little bit louder and a little bit slower. How can a young person stay pure? Or wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his, a young person cleanse his way, or keep his way clear or pure? How can we do it? By obeying God's word. But we've got to know it before we can obey it, right? It's not just automatic that God just gives his word to us. I slept on a lot of math books. It didn't help a bit, you know. A lot of history books. Did it ever help you to sleep on one? I had a friend or two that could put a tape in the tape player back in the days of the tape. That was that big old, what, reel-to-reel. Is that what it's called? Reel-to-reel tape. Anybody remember that? Not many of us. Nobody on this side knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. One, maybe one. That 25-year marriage person, yes. Okay. They'd play it all night and hope that it would subliminally. That's a tough word, isn't it? Did I get it right? Subliminal learning. And I never could get that to work. Anyhow, then we got the 8-tracks, and then we got the cassettes. But now we have the CDs and the iPods, and maybe if you listen loud enough, it'll keep you awake and you'd learn something. Okay, how shall a young person, this is about young people. Are all the young people over here? How shall you keep your way clean, your life pure? Read the Bible. Read Paul's letters that he wrote to the churches. And he tells us how to do it. But go back and read the Old Testament, Leviticus. Wow, maybe That's pretty deep to go back and read Leviticus. But get somebody to help you if you have a little problem. And then the next verse is 53. I think the next one I chose was 53. That doesn't look... Hara. This is it. Hara. Hara hath taken hold upon me. Why did Hara come upon the psalmist? Because of the wicked who forsake thy law. This guy's, the writer is talking to God, and I'm scared. I'm horrified. Horror is upon me because of those wicked people who won't listen to what God says. And then 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. 105. Thy word, a lamp to my feet, and I believe that Paul spoke with that in his text last week. Thy word, a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path. You want to walk in the dark spiritually? Don't read the word of God. You want to have spiritual light shining where you're going, directing you, leading you, then you're going to do it one step at a time, too. Nobody's ever taken two steps at a time, have they? They may jump, but that's just one giant step. Okay, and then 130. We'll look at 130. And the entrance of thy word giveth light. If you want to live in the light rather than the darkness of sin. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. You say, I don't understand very well. Not many people will brag about being wise, you know, or smart. Some will, but most of us say, well, I'm not too smart. Not too smart. But if you feel a little simple, what does the Bible say? It will help you get wise. James talks about ask God and then read His Word. The psalmist says read His words. Put them two together. Folks, I didn't promise that I'd finish this sermon today. Are you going to talk about the Bible next week? See if you can memorize at least the 27 verse books next week. 27 books, the New Testament, in order. And you, if you'd like to, we'll let you quote. Won't force anybody. Give you opportunity to quote them next week. You have to remind me because I may forget this before I forget out. I memorize those books, I want to quote them. And memorize a verse or two that they say in there if you desire it too. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the hope, the promises. Lord, thank you for the surety of it. Lord, thank you that it is established forever. And Lord, we remember that you spoke through the prophet Isaiah that it would not turn void. If you speak forth it, it will produce good and help and blessing. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe the song is Thy Word. It's 90, it'll be on the screen, but it's 94 in your Renew Hymnal, if you like. Let's stand together and sing about the Word of God. The most important message in God's Word is that we have salvation through Jesus Christ. God bless you. Thank you. send us forth, resting in your word, studying your word, living by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. God bless you.